Aleluia. Aleluia. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. The Apostle Paul writes, don't give place to the devil. See, it's easy to leave the door open to the devil and not even intend to. Paul wrote this to born-again, spirit-filled believers in the church in Ephesus. And what applies to the Christians in Ephesus applies to the Christians today, wherever they may live. Paul exhorted believers, don't give the devil any place in you. That means it's possible for us to give the devil a place or an open door into our lives. However, it also means he can't take place unless we let him. So that means we must close the door, right? I want to make sure you hear that. We must close the door. We have been delivered out of Satan's authority through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He has absolutely, I'm talking Satan, has absolutely no power over us unless we give him place in our lives. And yes, this is one I was working on when I got attacked. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 1. Giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Notice, God has not promised to deliver us someday in the future. He says he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you hear that? He has delivered us from the power of darkness. The word has is used with a past participle to form the present perfect tense. This tense designates action which began in the past but continues into the present. The effect of the action continues into the present. So you have been delivered. Verses 13 and 14 says that by the blood of Jesus, God has delivered us from the power of darkness. The Greek word translated power means authority. Exousia. Am I right, my brother? Colossians 1:13 is saying that God has delivered us out of Satan's authority. This verse also says that God has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The word translate means to take out of one place and put into another place. We were taken out of Satan's family and placed into God's family. I thought I'd get an amen, yeah. This happens legally when Jesus defeated Satan in his death, burial, and resurrection. Being delivered out of Satan's kingdom and placed into God's kingdom became a reality in our individual lives when we were born again, and as 2 Corinthians 5:17, we were made new creations. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Our redemption is present reality, folks. It's present reality. See, we're not waiting for it to be manifested when we die and go to heaven. Thank God we have it right now. Right now in this life, we have that. We are delivered from the authority of darkness. We are redeemed, and Satan has no more dominion over us. If we believe and act upon the authority Jesus gave us in His name, speak the name of Jesus, we can enjoy the reality of that which is ours. And we can keep the door closed to the devil in our lives. In Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Thank God for His grace. Now that same verse, Romans 6:14, in Young's literal translation reads, for sin over you shall not have lordship. For you are not under law, but under grace. For sin over you shall not have lordship. If anything has dominion over you, it has taken lordship over you. See, in a sense, sin and Satan are synonymous names. The Bible says sin shall not have or shall not lord over you. And as we've seen from the Word, Satan has no legal authority over us either, because we have a new Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that Jesus is our Lord and not Satan. Amen. Satan shall not lord it over us. Satan has no more dominion over us, the believer, than Pharaoh had over the children of Israel after they crossed over the Red Sea. When Pharaoh's army attempted to cross the Red Sea to recapture the Israelites, the parted waters rushed back in upon them, and it says, and they were drowned in the midst of the deep sea. Israel was forever free from Pharaoh. He had no dominion over them. In the same way, Satan has no more authority or dominion over believers. Because Pharaoh didn't get swallowed up in the water, did he? But his army did. But he lost his authority over the Israelites. And Satan, he's still there, but he no longer has the authority. No more does he have the authority over you. We are forever delivered from Satan's kingdom of darkness. He was conquered and defeated. He got his butt kicked at the cross by Jesus. See, Jesus did it for us. His victory is our victory because we are in Him. There is no need for us to be defeated by the devil. He is a defeated foe. I'm going to tell you, he is a defeated foe. Say that. He is a defeated foe. See, and you are to resist the devil, and what? And he will flee from you. That's what the Word says in James 4:7. It doesn't say that he might flee from you. It says he will flee from you. He will flee from us when we stand in the authority of Jesus' name. Speak the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost planned something there. Didn't even realize it. Hallelujah. However, along with our authority in the name of Jesus to resist Satan, comes our responsibility to always keep the door to the devil closed. The devil has no authority over us unless we give him authority. Some believers think, I'm born again, I'm blood bought, right? I am automatically covered. I don't have to worry at all. I'm safe from the devil's attacks. Nah, I don't think so. So we are protected if we believe and obey God's word. Oh, it takes something from us? Yes, it does. And it's pretty simple. If you think about it, believe, simply believe, and obey his word. It's not hard to obey the word of God. It really isn't. Amen? But if we are automatically safe from the onslaughts of the enemy with no responsibility on our part, why would Paul have given us the warning of don't give place to the devil? It would have been foolish for Paul to make a statement like that, wouldn't you agree? Especially when he's saying that it was going to be impossible for the devil to take place in our lives, no matter what we do. No. That's why he said, don't give place to the devil. But I like what the ERV. ERV, here's one for the ERV. It says, don't give the devil a way to defeat you. The devil, that means that the devil can take place in us if we let him. And brother, I couldn't leave you out. Amplified says, don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him an opportunity. Where's the first place he moves in for that opportunity? Right here. That's why you got to be worded up. Because when he comes here, the word up will come this way and push that out. Amen? We are not to let sin have dominion over us. Sin opens the door to the devil in our lives. And that doesn't just mean big sins like robbery or murder. Any kind of disobedience to God's word gives the devil place in our lives. A lot of times we make the mistake of trying to catalog sins. We put one at the top of our list and say, that sin is terrible. That one's up there on the top. And then we put another one down at the bottom of the list and we say, that one, it's not bad. That one's okay. But God doesn't categorize sins the way many believers would. So you want to turn to the book of Revelations, and we can see God's perspective on sin. Revelations chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and evildoers and murderers and sexually immoral and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God begins his list with fearful. Now, how many of you would put fear first in that list of terrible sins? And then God lists unbelieving. Do you know we have a lot of unbelieving believers? Well, and that's why I encourage, simply believe. Believe in God is able to do what you've asked him to do. Because if it lines up with his will, his word, it will not fail. Hallelujah. It will not fail. It's not all the time like turning on a switch and it instantaneously happens. Sometimes it's like a dimmer switch. it gradually starts and it gets better and better and better and better till you get the full light on it. And that's when you get your healing. God mentioned the unbelieving before he ever mentioned the murderers and sexually immoral. Wow. See, we would probably change that order of sins around. But God doesn't look at things the way we do. So, fear. Fear is one of the main strategies that Satan uses to defeat believers. Fear is of the enemy, not of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I like self-control. You know, it brings a little bit more reality to it. Self-control. You know how easy it is to lose control sometimes in situations. So we have a spirit of control. So, but a fear, it says right here, though, is a spirit. It's naming it. It is a spirit. And that's exactly what his word says to us. So we know what we're dealing with. It is a spirit. The spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, or self-control, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is in us. It is in us. Power, love, and self-control is in us. That's why sometimes you got to take a breath, step back for a second before you react to a situation. Our spirit of fear is one of the most predominant attacks of the enemy we face today on a daily basis. He operates 24/7, I'm telling you. What does that mean? When you go to sleep, you're not awake and not aware of what's going on. That's why before you get on, "As I lay my head on the pillow this night, Lord God, give me peaceful sleep. Give me restfulness. Give me sweet dreams." You can pray before you go to sleep. Yeah. Pray before you go to sleep. Sets the tone for the evening's rest. You wake up refreshed. And then you can say, "For this is the day that the Lord has made." Right? "And I will rejoice and be glad in it." And you'll look forward to going out. Amen? We need to be careful not to give place to the spirit of fear. Some have opened the door to the devil through fear, which allows other spirits to get in and harass us. Did you know that? If you open up that door to fear, it will come in and it will harass you. So we must make sure that we keep the door to fear shut. Got to keep it shut, folks. The Word of God teaches that giving an evil spirit any access way into our lives opens the door to other evil spirits. You don't believe me? How about if you believe Jesus? Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. Jesus warns us here. "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and he finds none. Then he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first." so shall it be with this wicked generation. Jesus is warning us right there. Opening the door to the spirit of fear is one way we can give other spirits the opportunity to come in and wreak havoc in our lives. Must keep the door shut to fear. For example, in the case of Job, we can see the danger of allowing fear to have dominion over us. Job lost his children, his property, his finances, his health through Satan's attacks. How was Satan able to attack Job? Satan had to have some avenue, some way into Job's life. The word tells us that Job was in fear. Okay, I'll take you to the word so you know that for a fact. Job chapter 3, verse 25. Job chapter 3, verse 25. Here's Job speaking. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has happened to me. He was afraid that this was going to happen to him before it ever did happen to him. Job walked with God, but he had fear of losing everything. But some say Satan was able to attack Job because God gave him permission. No, God did not permit Satan to attack Job in the sense of commissioning the devil. Job gave Satan permission by opening the door to him through fear. God only allowed Satan to do what Job had already permitted through the open door of fear. Fear opens the door to the enemy. Fear is not of God. You see, legally, Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:14 or 4:4 says that. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Do you ever talk to a non-believer? Their minds are totally shut off. So you got to be prayed up in the Holy Ghost before you have a conversation with them. You got to be ready for them. You got to have the word and already let the Holy Spirit start making a way. And you'll find out that those doors are shut and then they're just that avenue. All they can do is focus on you and they can see the Jesus in you start to come out. Amen. But you got to be prayed up. We are living in this world where Satan is God. That's a little g. Satan has a right in our lives if we give and get into his territory and give place to him through sin and disobedience. And one way to give place to the devil is by allowing the spirit of fear to influence us. Why are we talking about this fear thing? Because of what we're living in today. What we're living in today. Don't be afraid, is what he tells us. Jesus tells us, don't be afraid. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you. I'm going through it with you. I will part the sea when the sea needs parted. I will bring the sea back closed when it needs to be closed. I will be in the fire with you. You got to know that he's there with you. Always. Always. Said he would never leave you. And he said it three times, I will not, I will not, I will not anyway leave you, nor forsake you, nor let my hold on you. He's got a hold on you. You believe that? He's got a hold on you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How do we keep fear out of our life? When the devil tries to bring thoughts of fear into our mind, resist those thoughts with the authority God has given us in the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus. Listen, we don't cope with fear, manage fear. We don't put up with fear anymore. Mm-mm. We must enforce a zero tolerance policy against fear. Right? No more coping, no more managing, no more putting up with fear anymore for us. Command fear to go in Jesus' name. Then fill your mind instead with the promises of God's word and confess those promises with your mouth. It makes a difference. Don't just read it aloud. So that way your ears hear it. It's just not a mind thing. When your ears hear it, it goes in and it feeds that inner man in you. Because that's the real you. And your spirit in you is the real you. When we act upon the word and use our authority to resist the devil in the name of Jesus, fear has to go. Remember, we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. We can open up the door to him by allowing any sin to have dominion over us. For example, we can open the door through unforgiveness and resentment. I'm telling you, we got to keep the doors closed. It's up to us. Keep that door closed. Got to keep that forgiveness and that resentment, that unforgiveness and that resentment out of there, folks. It can be a real temptation to harbor resentment towards someone we feel has wronged us. I'm hearing a lot of people, It's easy to think, I'm just not ready to forgive that person. Not yet. But often the truth of the matter is we just want to hold to the resentment and make the person pay for the wrong he or she has did to us. Oh, I know there's a lot to squirm on that one. You know. When we don't immediately forgive that person who has wronged us, we open the door to the devil. Strife and unforgiveness open the door to confusion, ill health, poverty, and every evil work. The word says, James 3:16, every evil work. Proverbs 17:22, though. I like it. We all know this one. A merry heart does good. Like medicine. Our heart is our spirit. A resentful and unforgiving heart is not merry. A merry heart has a life-giving effect on us. It works on us like medicine. On the negative side, the opposite is true. An unforgiving, revengeful heart or a doubting and fearful heart opens the door to the devil and can make us sick or depressed or both. The devil tries to get us to give him place in our lives through any sin, including fear, unbelief, and unforgiveness. But we never have to give him place. We have been delivered from all the power of the darkness. Colossians 1:13. So learn to resist Satan. Put him in his place. Resist fear, and fear will flee from you. One dictionary defines flee as running away as in terror. I could just picture, Satan running with his hands up, screaming, running. Hallelujah. When you get up, that's what he should be doing. Oh my, he's awake. Yeah, he or she. I'm telling you, we got some awful great warriors in here, you ladies. I know that. Speak the word, though. Don't let anything else come out of your mouth. You speak the word. You speak the word. Hallelujah. So, I'm telling you, stand up to fear. Confront it, oppose it, and attack it. Stand toe-to-toe with it, face-to-face, and eye-to-eye. And put fear on the run. And speak to it. You say fear. In Jesus' name, I command you to leave my presence. The Lord is my helper. And there is no fear in love. I cast you out of my life. Now and forever. You do not have to put up with fear. You do not have a spirit of fear in you. You have one of what? Power, love, and self-control. So you do not have to put up with fear. Hallelujah. So that means we got to determine in our hearts to always walk in love. And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Hallelujah. And we got to what? We got to be ready and obedient to right then and there forgive whoever might have offended you. Don't wait. Do not wait. That's all he's waiting for you to do. They'll wait for you to start rehashing it. Because then he'll feed a little bit more. It's like a little fire. You start a little bit and you just keep throwing more onto it. And then you know, it's a full raging thing. And it can bring great divisions. Great divisions. Relationships can be lost. Hallelujah. And don't say you can't do it because you can do it. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because if you can't, then Jesus lied about it when he said through the Apostle Paul, don't give any place to the devil. We have the authority over the devil because Jesus gave us that authority. He said, all power and authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. He said that in Matthew 28:19. And then immediately he delegated that authority on the earth to the believers. Say, I'm a believer. So you have that authority. Because he said, go ye therefore, in verse 19. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have been given authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall in any way harm us. Let's try that a little differently. Say this with me. I have been given authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm me. And you can add my family. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now that if you get a revelation of the authority that we have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we won't be running from the devil any longer. We'll put him on the run, right? Run, devil, run. Instead of you being afraid of him, he should be afraid of you because you know the truth about who you are in Christ Jesus. You know you can keep the door closed to the devil and be strong in the power of the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus. Our ability to live free from the power of the enemy is all a part of God's plan of redemption through Jesus. We weren't delivered from the power of darkness because of anything that we did, but because of what Jesus did. Jesus rose victorious from death, the grave, and he gave us victory. God raised him from the dead, and he gave him the name above every name. Multiple sclerosis is only a name, but there's a name higher than I speak Jesus. Cancer is a name, but I speak the name of Jesus over that. It has more authority, right? Whatever you are dealing with, whatever they have come out and come against you with, speak the name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus, right? Over your family, over your children, over your grandchildren. Hallelujah. Your great-grandchildren. Hallelujah. It's the name of Jesus, folks. And that name belongs to us. Belongs to us to use. It's what he said. Go ye therefore. Go out. He's given us the power in his name. In his name. When we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. When you go in faith and pray for someone and laying on hands for them to get better and be healed and get out of that bed that they're in, you do it in faith, folks, and they're going to get up out of that bed. They're going to get out of that bed. They're going to get better. Some have been in a battle for a long time and haven't given up. Joe hasn't given up. Joe's still fighting for every second he has. And he's seeing the victory. It's been slow. He's questioned and said, why? Why sometimes? And then he has to get himself back on track because he'll send me a text or that lady right there won't give him a break. She doesn't give him a break. Oh, honey, you know you can't say that. But she's got to be there to encourage him. He's been through a battle. And I've told him, he's going to be back on riding that bike. He's going to be back to riding his bike. He's taken some of the next steps he's made already are just amazing. And he says, I'm not giving up. He's going to see somebody about doing some rebuilding of his lungs in the natural. And so he reached out, God, what do you want me to do? When Joe comes, he's going to have one awesome testimony. I'm telling you. He's going to have one awesome testimony for y'all to hear. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you that because you just keep praying for him. You keep praying for Floor Grace. You keep praying for Bill and Kathy Kirby. You keep praying for Roger. You know, y'all keep praying. You cannot quit praying and give up. And that's what the devil wants you to think. You will not have the victory. You cannot have the victory. You do. You can expect to have the victory. You can expect to have the victory. That's right. Hope in the Bible is confident expectation of a successful outcome. That's what it is. Put our hope in Jesus. Jesus rose victorious over death. And he has that name, the name for us to use. And because of Jesus, we have that authority to say to the devil, in Jesus' name I resist you. In Jesus' name I stand against every strategy that you have assembled against me. And I will speak the word. Isaiah 54:17. Good call, brother. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, right? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every word that comes and spoken against you negatively, bringing condemnation, you can use the word and counteract it. Hallelujah. Because that's what we are equipped with. He gave us His name. He gave us His word. He gave us the blood to plead. Hallelujah. Amen. You have the authority to tell the devil, back off. No more. You hear that? Door is shut. Because he's nothing but a coward. Because when he looks around, he's going to say, oh, wait a minute, that door's closed. And he's standing all by himself. And he's starting to shake. And guess what he's going to do? Because you've done resisted him by keeping the doors shut to fear, to unbelief, unforgiveness, resentment. You see what I'm saying? We got to keep the door shut. It's back into us, right? And we can tell him, and Satan, for the rest of our lives, we refuse to give you place in our lives. Amen? Amen. And I think that's where I'll stop right there. Stand up to fear. Confront it. Oppose it. Attack it. Right? Go toe-to-toe with it. Face-to-face, eye-to-eye. Stare it down. Put fear on the run. And speak to it in Jesus' name.